Alaskans like to pack in as much fun as possible during our gloriously long summer days, and extended bouts of backyard, beach, boat, and campsite time is made all the better when you have a great book to relax with. Readers know how books create magical doorways into other worlds and other worldviews that enhance your imagination in ways that scrolling online will never match. And if you want to stick to homegrown books, Alaska has many great authors and a wide range of selections, from thrillers to romance to science. We'll talk with Alaska writers and hear about their books today on Talk of Alaska.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by
the law firm of Landy Bennett Blumstein, attorneys who know the people, businesses, tribes, and communities of Alaska. Landy Bennett Blumstein, online at lbblawyers.com. Whether this is your first try to quit or you've been down this path before, Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line can help you quit for good. Get help creating a plan that is right for you, no matter if you smoke cigarettes, vape, use smokeless tobacco, or ICMIC. With options like calling a coach, receiving text messages, and nicotine replacement therapy with patches or gum, you can quit your way at any time of day or night. Call Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW or visit alaskaquitline.com. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello, it's Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. What's your favorite type of book and style of reading? Do you prefer to learn and make your brain work through nonfiction, history, politics, and policy? Or do you like to decompress after a long day and prefer an entertaining novel or romance paperback? I'm not a monogamous reader. I'm usually reading two or sometimes three books at the same time, as I currently am. Whatever genre is your favorite, reading is a great, and if you use the library, inexpensive way to educate, entertain, and grow our understanding of the world. Here today to talk about reading and writing is Indigenous author Lily Tuzroyluk. Lily lives in Anchorage now, but is from Point Hope. Her debut novel is Savulik, Ancestor. Welcome, Lily.
Yes, thank you for having me. Thanks. So happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. It's fantastic. And on the line from France is Alaskan author Jamie Bradbury. Jamie's first novel, The Wild Inside, is debuting in France right now. And that's why Jamie is there. Thanks for joining us, Jamie.
Thanks so much for having me from so far away.
Yeah, it's great to have you, and the connection's great. Also with us today is Anchorage Community Engagement Librarian Menica Theroux. Menica, thanks for being on with us, and we'll learn more about what a community engagement librarian is in just a bit.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. You can also join us, Alaskans. Do you have favorite Alaska authors and books to suggest? Are you a writer with a new book out? Do you have questions about how to access library books from other parts of the state? You can call us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. So Lily, I want to start with you. Your book is quite new. It came out at the start of this year. I'm about halfway through it, and it's such a riveting story, incredibly painful at times, but the theme of strength and resilience is also very clear. How did you decide to write about this time of devastating loss? The late 1800s, commercial whaling is aggressively hunting whales in the Arctic, and smallpox is ripping through coastal communities. Not an easy topic. Why was this important to you to write this story?
So little has been written about this time period, indeed, from the Indigenous perspective. The effects of smallpox and other diseases, you still see the effects of those today in modern times. For example, in 1800, there was 2,000 people in Tikiak, in Point Hope, and that is more than the modern size of Point Hope today. And I believe that this time period can be representative of other types of exploitation that we're experiencing today. Just replace the whale oil with natural gas, oil, coal, And I hope that I can bring light to those struggles that we faced at the time.
So the population of Point Hope was about double, is that right, of
yes.
what it is today?
Yes.
There's only
yes.
about 1,000 people there now?
Yes, yes.
Wow, that's incredible, isn't it? You feature letters of concern from church leaders about the whalers decimating the food supply of the indigenous people of the Arctic region, letters from Reverend Driggs to Captain Healy, and you also feature the family of your main character, the mom. Please say her name for me.
Oh, yes. Kai Lyric.
Kai Lyric. Thank you.
Yes.
How much is history and how much is your imagination, like the letters and things like that? Are those from your creation or did you find some of those historical documents?
Yes, yes. I created the letters. It's based upon Reverend Driggs was a person, a historical figure that ended up staying in Point Hope for the rest of his life. He's buried near Point Hope at Cape Lisburn. The other historical figure is Captain Healy, and he was the captain of the U.S. Revenue Cutters, which later became the Coast Guard. Mm-hmm. And the letters, they're from my imaginations, but I've read a lot about his life. He did write a book, Ancient America. And also a lot was written about Captain Healy. But research is a good foundation to writing. And I'm very fortunate. That's one of my, that I love to research. I love to read.
So Reverend Driggs stayed in Point Hope for the rest of his life. Must have been a great disappointment to his mother, who wanted him to be a surgeon for white people on the East Coast.
Yes, yes, he had such an interesting life.
Very interesting.
Yes, he was a surgeon, and he started out at the New York Hospital for Immigrants, and also for the opera. And New York, and it was great to read about him and his thoughts about
yeah.
about Tikiak peoples, our ancestors. Yeah.
If you're just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska, and today we're talking about summer reading and Alaska authors. In the studio with me is Lily Tazroyluk. Lily is an Indigenous author of historical fiction, the book Sivulik, Ancestor, and also Jamie Bradbury is on the line with us from France, where her novel, The Wild Inside, just recently was released. And also with us on the line is Menica Theroux. Menica is the Anchorage Community Engagement Librarian. So we're talking about summer reading, summer books, Alaska authors. If you've got suggestions or favorite authors or Alaska books that you'd like to suggest, you can call us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, you can reach us at 907-550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. And you can also call in if you have questions for our authors today. So, Jamie, I want to turn to you now. The Wild Inside features the story of a teenage girl who wants to run the Iditarod. She runs trap lines and one day has a super weird encounter in the woods. To an online question about where the inspiration came from, you said it started with an image of a lonely house at the edge of a dark forest. Wow, that sounds like a great way to start something. Tell us about what was going on when that image first came to you and how it grew from there.
Sure. A lot of my writing starts with an image that makes me ask questions. And the questions that I had about this cabin was, who is inside of this cabin? And somehow I knew whoever was in there was waiting for someone. So my other question was, who are they waiting for? Very quickly, I decided that my protagonist would be a teenage girl. And I knew that she had secrets. So again, I just ended up asking a lot of questions about my protagonist, about that cabin in the woods. But the one thing I always knew was that that cabin was in Alaska. I was living in Vermont at the time, and I was missing Alaska very much. And the darkness, the snow, the time of year. I just knew that whatever I was going to write would have to be set in Alaska.
Jamie, you've been in Alaska now for a couple of decades, and you teach creative writing at Highland Mountain Correctional Facility. As a creative, what does Alaska offer that Illinois, your previous state, does not for writing fodder?
Well, you know, it's funny. One of the reasons I'm in France is because I'm attending a festival on nature writing, and I think that's one of the great things that Alaska gives me. We're surrounded by nature. Even when we're in the city, a city dweller like myself, we're still surrounded by nature. Only 10 minutes away, we have mountains, we have wilderness. And I think that there is an inherent mystery to the wilderness that makes us ask questions about ourselves as humans, as we are related to nature. And so that's one thing that Alaska gives me. It just keeps me asking questions. I do like to joke and say that the long winters are also excellent for writers, because if you don't feel like getting out in the snow and the cold, that's a great excuse to stay home and write as much as possible.
So true. All right. Thank you so much for that. Menica, turning to you now, are there particular genres of books that are more popular in Alaska than others? Mysteries, young adult, fantasy, memoirs, fiction, or science? Do you find that more books are in demand or of some particular genres than others?
Wow, great question. I honestly feel like it's really all across the board. And that's just anecdotally. I don't have the data to back this up. But we get folks reading everything from suspense and thrillers, mysteries, romance, lots of biographies. People are really interested in learning about the lives of different people. And then, of course, we get the folks that are looking to discover certain kinds of information, right? So people who are looking for cookbooks or auto manuals, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's fantastic. instead of going to YouTube, people are still going to the library for repair manuals. I'm glad
Absolutely.
To hear that.
Yeah.
So Menica, talk about your work as a community engagement librarian. What does that involve?
Absolutely. So my role was created in order to get the resources from the library out to folks that might not know that they exist. So I spend about half my time at the library doing what you might imagine a librarian is doing, creating book displays, helping people at the reference desk. But then the other half of my time, I'm out and about. I'm at community events. I'm learning from our different community groups what their needs are and trying to figure out how the library might be able to meet those needs. And then I'm also sharing about all the wonderful resources and programs that we've got at the library with folks who might not have known that those things were available to them for free.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so when you're out in doing that community engagement work directly with groups, how do you talk to young people about why books are awesome? How do you try to convince them of the importance of reading and the Herculean effort to put down the phone and pick up a book?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. And I will admit that I don't work with youth terribly much. So my role is more working with adults, but I do get to interact with youth from time to time. And I think the thing is that a lot of youth actually do a lot of reading. And so it's a lot of trying to figure out what's the best way for folks to access books. And sometimes it is through the phone. So we've got ebooks and audiobooks that folks can listen to and read right on their device. And that can make it really convenient because you don't need transportation to get to the library to be able to access those materials. And they're right there with you all the time. So that's a great question for a youth librarian, I think. But a lot of the folks that I encounter, they're already reading. They're really into books. It's just figuring out how they can access more of what they want.
Oh, I love to hear that. That gives me hope. So maybe in the future when I see young people looking at their phone constantly, I can imagine, well, they're reading a book.
They might be.
I hope so. 1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide if you'd like to join our conversation. If you have questions for our authors today, or you have suggestions for books or or you're an author yourself and have a new book out, 1-800-478-8255. In the Anchorage area, you can reach us at 907-550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Let's go to the phones now. Mark is in Bethel. Hello.
Hey, good morning. You know, it's finally sort of turning green out here. I just wanted to recommend an Alaskan author by the name of Jerry Flew, F-L-U. Some old-timers might remember him as an editorial cartoonist in the Anchorage Times, and folks up on the middle Yukon might remember him from his days as being a school teacher. And he retired from teaching. He worked for me at YKHC as a grant writer for quite a number of years. He's a very, very talented author. He lives up in Houston. And he has three books that are self-published that you can find on Kindle. One is called Who Killed Randy Ratfink? The Postmortem Adventures of a Fried Grain Hippie. That was his first one. And it was a fun read. His second one is called Mickey Seamus, Private Dick, It's Never Too Late, subtitled An Allegedly Hilarious Whodunit. And looking back on his days at Yale, where he studied Egyptology for a while, his last book is called The Mummy Cursed, a hysterical fantasy set, of course, in ancient Egypt. So if you're looking for something, that's kind of light reading, written by an Alaskan author, and it doesn't have nothing to do with Alaska, but sometimes it's okay to look in a different direction. Take a look there on a couple of the books are on Kindle, on Amazon, Jerry Flew, F-L-U, which should be easy to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mark, thank you so much. A little bit of history there and some fun titles. I'm definitely going to check that out because they sound like they'll be fun to read. Thanks so much for the call. Lily, I want to go back to you now. You noted in an earlier interview, and we talked a little about this, very little is known about that time from an Indigenous perspective, as you said. And as we referenced earlier, Point Hope in the 1800s had 2,000 people. Now, less than, it's about half that. How did you research the Indigenous viewpoint when so little is documented? How did you go about doing that work?
Yes, we have an oral history, not a written history, but it's not impossible to find those historical documents that have stories of Indigenous peoples. If you look for census reports to Congress, quote-unquote the explorers in Alaska, but it is important as an Indigenous person that you filter out the facts. It was unfortunately, as an Indigenous person, we were victim to attempted genocide and exploitations, oppression, and some of their viewpoints, their perspectives of Indigenous peoples were not, they didn't see us as human beings, as we're savage nations. So it's important as an Indigenous person to find what is important, what are the facts of this document. For example, in the 1800s, there was a census that was done, and I found the story of this woman from Point Hope, from Tukiak. Her husband was killed by a polar bear. And the census taker, he stated, because of the story, that Eskimos are prone to anger, is what they said, what he concluded. But is that anger? I mean, as an Indigenous person, you're looking back on this story. I would say just that it was
justified. Justice, anger, yeah. Of course.
Yes. did she want revenge or did she want justice? But maybe she wanted to have to bury whatever remains of her husband, in which that would be true love. And so it's important if you're just starting out as a writer and you're doing research, as an Indigenous person, I would take all of that, his interpretation of history, and I would say, well, there's a story about a woman from Tukiak. She was a hunter, and we continue to be hunters, including women and whalers. And there's even women today that are whaling captains in Point Hope. So keep that in mind, and looking through these documents, interviews, these like elder conferences, wherever you are finding these pieces of history, that keep in mind that they don't, some of them don't have the same perspective sure. as Indigenous peoples.
And how difficult was it to read through some of those statements and kind of, you know, keep it from causing you inner despair?
Yes, of course. Of course, you will be, you'll be learning history about your peoples, but at the same time, anger that, that this is how that they viewed your ancestors.
Yeah. And a woman who had righteous anger because her husband had been killed and was seen as somebody who was overly angry.
Yes.
So strange.
Yes, yes. A very limited view of Indigenous peoples. Absolutely.
1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide if you'd like to join our conversation. 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email talk@alaskapublic.org as Bob did. Bob writes and says, best Alaska book, in Bob's opinion, is The Dishonorable Dr. Cook by Bradford Washburn. Bob says, a great real-time detective story, well done, exposing dishonorable practices when Alaska was being quote-unquote discovered.
Okay. Love the quotes, yeah.
Yeah, there were people here. So, Jamie, you're a professed horror fiction fan, as am I. What appeals to you, and do you want to lean more strongly in that direction in your future books?
Oh, for sure. When I was writing The Wild Inside, I really thought it was going to be more of a horror novel, and it kind of got away from me and became kind of a family story. I love to be scared. I have a lot of friends who ask me, like, why on earth would you want to be scared? But I don't know. There's something about the feeling of being a little terrified that really appeals to me. I think that in horror fiction and watching horror movies, which I'm a big horror buff, I think there's something manageable about the fear that you feel when you're reading a horror novel, when you're watching a horror movie. As scary as things can get on the page or on the screen, you know that you can set the book aside, you can turn the movie off if you can't handle it. And it just makes it feel, you know, you just feel as though you can manage those kind of scares. Whereas in a world where a lot of things are really scary, there's so much we can't manage at all. At least we can manage, you know, how we feel when we're watching a horror movie or reading a horror novel. I also really appreciate the horror genre's ability to give us ways of talking about difficult problems without naming those problems. You know, zombies were really popular not too many years ago. And the zombie is such a great metaphor for so many things, you know, for hive minds, for capitalism, for, you know, kind of going with the crowd. And I love the fact that horror allows us to talk about complex issues that might be very difficult to talk about if we were trying to come straight at them. When you come at something from kind of the side, it gets a lot easier to talk about. So I really appreciate that about horror.
That is such an interesting perspective that it's manageable fear.
Yes. Yes. You burn calories when you read horror and watch horror.
It's so true. Yes. We have another email suggestion for book recommendations. Jerry writes in, creative writing faculty at the University of Alaska Fairbanks have some wonderful books out. Sarah Eliza Johnson's new book of poetry called Vapor. Joseph Holt's new collection of stories, Golden Days Parade. And Daryl Farmer's stories, Where We Land. Also, Jerry Brightwell's latest novel, set in Alaska, Turn Back Ridge. All right, so Jerry has a book out and made some other suggestions. Thanks so much for that. Jamie, continuing with you for a moment here, I saw a reader question that you answered online about overcoming writer's block. And you gave an answer that I've not heard before. Usually writers sort of roll their eyes like, oh, not this question again, and say, okay, you just got to write through it, because if you don't write, okay, you're not a writer. But you suggested not fighting it and just kind of being zen about being fallow for a while. How do you deal with those drier creative times?
I like to throw myself into other creative pursuits for sure. You know, when you're a creative person, you don't necessarily always have just one outlet for that creativity. If you're sitting down at the computer or with a blank piece of paper and the words just aren't coming, sometimes just lean into it, is what I say. Allow yourself to step away from the page, step away from the computer. Maybe that's your brain telling you that it wants to express itself in a different way for a change. I also think that there's like a really strong brain-body connection. And so oftentimes when I'm actually writing and I get stuck, it's extremely helpful to just get up and go be physical. That's another thing that is great about Alaska. I can leave my computer. I can go out for a hike. I can go out for a long run on the wonderful trails around Anchorage. And usually when my brain goes quiet, my body is moving, suddenly connections are made. I figured out the ending of The Wild Inside, in fact, because I was stuck. I didn't know what to do on the page. I went out for my daily run, and in the middle of the run, it just hit me. I knew exactly how that book needed to end. I think sometimes you just have to give yourself a little space. Give yourself, honestly, allow yourself to be bored sometimes, is what I say, because boredom actually, I think, can give birth to creativity if you let your brain kind of do its own thing for a while.
Oh, that's so, it was interesting to hear you say get up and get physical, because that's my own process, especially when I was a beat reporter. If I was stuck, mm-hmm. I would find myself up wandering around watering the plants or eating crackers or something just to do something different and then come back to it later. Lily, I see you nodding over here too.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's always good to know, to get to know yourself as a creative person, and find these other ways to get your creativity moving.
Yeah, just kind of re-inspire yourself. Let's go back to the phones. Susie is on the road. Hi, Susie.
Hello. I'm going to pull over. Be safe.
Good.
There's the rumble strip. Okay, we're good. Okay. I'm an audiobook narrator. And I just finished narrating a book about Bonnie Craig, who was murdered. It was a true crime mystery.
Yes.
But what I'd really like to encourage authors, especially with an indigenous voice, to have them narrate a story would be so cool. That would just be fabulous. And it just really increases the readership to have audio format for people. Because like right now, I'm listening to a book as I'm, well, I was, I was listening to you guys, but it just increases to approach a publisher of audiobooks to say, could you publish my book? And Alaskan books are very, they're a very wanted item because people are interested in Alaska.
I'm so happy that you called with that suggestion, Susie. That is such a great thing for authors to remember, is that there's a huge market out there for audiobooks. And Lily, have you thought about doing that with your book?
Yes, yes. And I've asked Alison Warden. She is an actress. She's from Utqiagvik. She might be from Kaktovik.
Kaktovik,
If she would be interested in doing the narration, and I think she would be perfect.
That's fantastic. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue taking calls and questions with our Alaska authors talking about summer reading and Alaska books as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Alaska is growing quickly, so construction jobs are in high demand. 1 in 20 jobs in Alaska are in construction, and with the industry expanding every year, Alaska needs a bigger workforce. The University of Alaska system offers accessible construction management programs, giving students the skills they need to empower Alaska. Learn more at empower.alaska.edu. This message sponsored by the University of Alaska.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We're discussing summer reading with some Alaska authors and the Anchorage Community Engagement Librarian, Menica Theroux, is on the line with us, as is Jamie Bradbury, the author of the novel The Wild Inside. And in the studio with me today is Lily Tazroyluk. Lily is an Indigenous author of historical fiction, Siviluk, Ancestor. 1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide. If you've got book suggestions or author suggestions that you'd like to share with us, or you have questions for the authors that we have on today, Lily and Jamie, 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422, 907-550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Before I get back to some questions, I wanted to note that there's other authors that have some great books out. Seth Kantner from Kotzebue, his latest book is called A Thousand Trails Home, Living with Caribou. Tom Kazaya's first book, The Wake of the Unseen Object, was recently re-released. And Cold Mountain Path was written in 2022. Mark Cameron, who is an Eagle River author of the Arliss Cutter investigative series based in Alaska, he just recently released book number 5 in the series. It's called Breakneck, and that's out now. And if you like romance novels, another Eagle River author writing under the pen name Lolo Page has a series called the Blazing Heart Wildfire series. So, Menica, I want to get back to you. You mentioned one of the basic and fantastic aspects of the library, free book lending. Talk about the services that are available for both walk-in people and folks who want to access good reading material and may live in a remote location.
Absolutely. So we here in Anchorage, of course, have a pretty big print collection at Lusac and at our other four branches, which are Mountain View, Muldoon, Girdwood, and Eagle River. Of course, folks have access to that around the state. So we have this really wonderful thing in the state of Alaska that's actually pretty unique in the country, called the Alaska Library Consortium. And so libraries across the state that are part or members of that consortium can actually share materials. So if you're living in a community with a public library, but your library doesn't have a copy of a book that you want, you can get it from another library, like from Anchorage or Fairbanks or just any of the other libraries that might have items. And that's the same for folks in Anchorage, which is really, really cool. And of course, we also have an interlibrary loan program where we can get books from outside of the state. So if there's a book that you want, it is very likely that we're going to be able to get it for you, which is really exciting. And then, of course, we have online resources that folks can access from home. And so that includes ebooks, audiobooks, all kinds of databases also that have various resources for just learning about various things, academic articles, all that kind of stuff. So we have quite a wide breadth of things that people can access from around the state.
And tell us about the library's Alaska section and what people can find there.
Yeah, so we have a really incredible collection of Alaska materials over at the Lusac Library. And so about half the collection is actually on the floor, on the third floor there at Lusac. And that includes everything from biographies, materials about history, language, you know, wildlife, all that kind of thing. And then we also have a number of sort of rarer materials that we have in storage that folks can access. And all you have to do is just come talk to the librarian and we can get those materials for you. We also have newspapers from around the state available on microfilm. So if you're doing some research and you're trying to find an article, we've got all of those materials on microfilm that you can access there at the library and actually just save to a USB drive or send to yourself by email, which is a really great resource for research.
Oh, yeah, that is such a great service. Thank you for describing all of that. So start us off here, Menica, and then I'd like Jamie and Lily to weigh in too. Is summer reading different for you from wintertime reading?
It is, and I think for me, so I grew up here in Anchorage, and the Lusac Library was where my parents would take us in the summer. And so there's something about the library in particular that is connected to summer reading for me. And it was also a time, like I've not been in school for a long time, but I'm still sort of in that mindset of like summer is the time for me to read fun things that are easy on my brain. That are just enjoyable, that are not assigned by anyone else, that I just get to pick what I want to read. So for me, summer reading is really connected to the library and getting to choose whatever I want. I kind of describe to patrons like intuitive reading is my preferred way to go, where rather than being tied to your to-read list or to recommendations from friends, although those can be really wonderful, it's really great to just like listen to yourself and hear what you want to read and figure out what that is. I really love reading young adult fiction because it's just like so all-consuming. It feels like it really pulls you into the story in a way that for me, nonfiction doesn't quite do. So that's how summer reading feels for me. And of course, adults and kids can still participate in summer reading programs at the library. So just little ways to encourage you to read. And that can be really fun because you can earn prizes for reading, which is not something that you get the rest of the year.
Yay, prizes. Everybody loves prizes. Thank you for that. Jamie, how about for you? Is summer reading different for you from wintertime?
But, you know, I have to shout out libraries as well, because some of my best memories as a kid was the summer reading program at my local library when all the kids got to reign over the library and get to any section that they wanted to. And I think that may be how I partly discovered horror, by wandering into the adult section of the library and finding Stephen King on the shelf, wondering what those scary looking books were all about. I read horror all year long, but I especially love reading horror in the summer. I kind of like to lean into the opposite of what summer would normally inspire in a person. So while it's warm outside and the sun is out, I like to read something a little darker, a little colder, something that reminds me of the winter is coming. But I agree. Summer is the time for fun reading. So that's the time when I want to get into something that is a good page turner. You know, in Alaska, summer is so short, I want to get outside so much and go do physical things. A book is going to have to be really good and really grabby to keep me on my deck reading instead of being out in the mountains and hiking.
Yeah, really grabby is important, that's for sure. 1-800-478-8255 is the number statewide if you'd like to join our conversation to recommend books or authors or ask the authors that we have on with us today, Lily Tesroyluk and Jamie Bradbury. If you have questions for them, you can call and ask. 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 907-550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email talk@alaskapublic.org, as Lori did from Fairbanks. Lori says, just out now, and it's a great collection of Alaskan authors with David James introductions to each one. David A. James is a freelance writer in Fairbanks and the editor of Writing on the Edge, an anthology of contemporary Alaskan stories. Well, that sounds like a very interesting read, doesn't it?
It is.
And so, Lily, what are you reading right now, and what would be your top recommendations for Alaskans this summer?
Yes.
Of course, your own book, but other than your own book. First, they should start with yours, right?
Yes. Yes. I'm glad that that they recommended Writing on the Edge. That is one of my books that I brought into the studio with me.
Yes, that's great.
Yes, I'm concentrating. I love the summertime, and I love reading in the sunshine. That's the time I catch up on a lot of my to-be-read pile. I've been concentrating mostly on residential schools for people listening at home, my next book is going to be on residential schools where Indigenous peoples were forcibly removed from their communities to schools run by either the Bureau of Indian Affairs or by a church. And unfortunately, when we're talking about residential schools, there was sexual abuse, child sexual abuse. But I was very happy to find from our library, we do have Alaskan authors that have written about their experiences trying to hold the churches accountable for the abuse that they experienced. And Writing on the Edge by David James, there is a chapter written by Judy Ferguson, who wrote about the, and she interviewed the son of Katie John and his experiences at the Wrangell Institute. Alaskan Rough Diamonds by Rick Stanfield. He moved to Anchorage in the 60s and he attended the Catholic school here in Anchorage. And his memoir is about his abuse by Father Murphy and his journey in trying to get him to be held accountable by the justice system. And also, I'm just in the process of reading The Book of Timothy by Joan Knuckles Wilson. And she lives in Alaska now, but it is abuse that her brother was victim of in the States.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing in some author and titles for us. How about you, Jamie? What are you reading right now? And do you have some suggestions for Alaskans? First, they should buy The Wild Inside, of course. We know that.
Naturally. Like you, and it sounds like the other folks on the panel, I usually have two or three books going at once. And one of the books that I'm enjoying is Stephanie Marie Thornton's Her Lost Words, a novel of Mary Wollstonecraft and Mary Shelley. Mm. This is one I picked up because I was on a panel with Stephanie and I heard her talk about this historical fiction that sounded so compelling, I had to get it immediately. This takes the two figures, Mary Wollstonecraft, the feminist, and then Mary Shelley, the famous author of Frankenstein, and examines their lives as women, as mother and daughter. You know, Mary Wollstonecraft dies shortly after childbirth, and so Mary Shelley grows up not really knowing her mother and learning to read by tracing the letters of her mother's tombstone. And so this book divides the time between the two time periods, 1792 and 1815, and examines how Mary Shelley grows up kind of in the shadow of her mother, but also, you know, inspired by her mother and learning about the secrets that her mother had, all while leading her to eventually write a groundbreaking horror novel, Frankenstein. And so this is one that I'm about halfway through, and it truly is, it's a wonderful traveling companion, first of all. It's a great book to be able to pick up between other moments on the road. But it's just beautifully written, and the prose is incredible, but the story itself is completely compelling. So For Lost Words by Stephanie Marie Thornton, I'd really encourage people to check that book out. Another book that I'm not currently reading, but I would really love to suggest as a great summer ride is Annie and the Wolves by Andromeda Romano-Lax. Andromeda used to live in Alaska. She now makes her home in Vancouver Island. And I read this book 2 summers ago, I think, when it first came out. And it is, it feels terrible to say that a book that's partly about trauma and PTSD is a really fun ride, but it honestly is. It's kind of a time travel book in that it follows Ruth, an author who discovers a journal of Annie Oakley's. And it's a piece of history that actually reveals that improves a theory that Ruth as a historian has had, that something traumatic must have happened to Annie Oakley in her past and compelled her to go on a quest to arm every woman in America. And in fact, the journal that Ruth discovers proves that this is true. And so the book divides its time between our present day and this young woman, Ruth, as she makes this discovery. And then it travels back in time to follow Annie Oakley as she's traveling America with her gun show, but also dealing with this trauma that she's had in her past. So again, that's Annie and the Wolves by Andromeda Romano-Lax. It's just a ton of fun.
Oh my gosh, that finally, does sound great.
Oh yeah, and then I just wanted to recommend one other collection. I think, you know, I mentioned before, I kind of like to lean into winter, even though it's summer, to cool myself off, I guess. And a collection that just came out this past winter is Wheels on Ice, which is a fantastic collection of stories about cycling in Alaska. It covers cycling in the summer, cycling in the winter, cycling as a method of transportation, but as a hobby full of joy. I personally just got my first fat tire bike, so I'm excited about cycling in the winter. This book has been a lot of fun just to pick and choose different essays to read.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much. Menika, I want to get to you in a moment, but we need to take another short break. When we come back, we'll hear more about book suggestions for summer reading as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Whether this is your first try to quit or you've been down this path before, Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line can help you quit for good. Get help creating a plan that is right for you, no matter if you smoke cigarettes, vape, use smokeless tobacco, or ICMIC. With options like calling a coach, receiving text messages, and nicotine replacement therapy with patches or gum, you can quit your way at any time of day or night. Call Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW or visit alaskaquitline.com. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line. Alaska is growing quickly, so construction jobs are in high demand. 1 in 20 jobs in Alaska are in construction, and with the industry expanding every year, Alaska needs a bigger workforce. The University of Alaska system offers accessible construction management programs, giving students the skills they need to empower Alaska. Learn more at empower.alaska.edu. This message sponsored by the University of Alaska.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We have by email a note from Anne Ward Masterson. And Anne says, "Hello, Lori and guests. Right now I'm enjoying Mary Beth Holloman's book of poems, Tender Gravity, from Boreal Books. Also, look up Cirque Press. They have both a journal of Pacific Northwest authors and books by Alaska and Pacific Rim authors." She says, "If you live in Anchorage and enjoy poetry, Poetry Parlay meets the third Wednesday of every month, usually at the Writer's Block in the Spinard neighborhood." And she says, "Finally, a book of poetry coming out through Cirque Press, Getting Home From Here." And she said, "Thanks for doing the show." That's from Anne Ward Masterson. So, Lily, Menika, let's get a few book suggestions from you before I forget that.
Sure, yeah. So I'll just mention that the book that I'm reading right now, so I mentioned that in the summertime, I really like those grabby books. And so I I'm reading a book called The Last Graduate, which is the second book in the Scholoman series. It's a fantasy book that follows youth who are in a school, essentially learning to survive these like monsters that are trying to attack them. It's really fun, really quippy. It's a great series, and that's by Naomi Novik. And then for some Alaskan authors, I really enjoyed a young adult book that's by Dante Miedema, and it's called Message Not Found. It's a really like heartbreaking story about a young woman who loses her best friend in a car accident and goes through this grieving process, trying to sort of make sense of what has happened. And it was just really beautifully written. And I would highly recommend that one as well. And then there's lots and lots of good memoirs by folks that are Alaskan. One that I read last year is by Patrice Gopo, and it's called All the Colors We Will See. It's a memoir written in essays. She grew up in Anchorage, and she was the daughter of Jamaican immigrants. And personally, as the daughter of immigrants, I hadn't really seen myself reflected in stories by Alaskan authors kind of before reading those essays. So it really resonated with me. It explores a lot of ideas about place and home and family, and is really wonderfully written. So I recommend that as well.
All right. Thanks so much. I just am so thrilled that you and Jamie both are unabashed horror fans and like to read about monsters, because I do too, but I sometimes feel silly at my age that I still like to read things that scare me. So it's good to know that I'm not alone in that love. Let's go back to the phones for a moment. Rachel is in Anchorage. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I just read a book. I got it at a used bookstore, Roundabout, on Old Seward and 76. And it's, the title is A School Teacher in Old Alaska, The Story of Hannah Brees. And it's edited by her granddaughter, Jane Jacobs. It's published by Vintage Canada. And it's about a school teacher who came to Alaska in 1904 and stayed until 1918. And she worked in various villages around the state. And she is just very interested in the Native culture. She wants to work with people. She's very independent. She sets up the school. She gets it going. In Nondalton, I think she had the school built so that she could teach there.
Oh, wow.
But she worked in Afognak, Kodiak, Wood Island, Seward, Illiamna, Nondalton, Fort Yukon, Wrangell, and then in Douglas, which is now part of Juneau.
That's incredible. What a tenure in the state, and she saw a lot of it for sure. That's real dedication to teaching,
yes.
Too. Sounds like a great book. Thanks so much for the suggestion, Rachel. Appreciate the call. Lily, I want to turn back to you. You want people to take away a better understanding of an Inupiaq worldview. Talk about how you hope readers will be able to see that and what you want them to take away from that.
Yes, that is such an interesting question. And the first time somebody asked me, I had to sit back and reflect what I want people to take away from my writing. And I want readers to see the world and from an Inupiaq perspective, from an Indigenous perspective, especially in today's culture of global warming and climate change, to view the Arctic as an Indigenous person, to see these animal populations and ecosystems from an Inupiaq perspective, and including whaling, which subsistence whaling is a tradition that we still practice.
Yeah, in fact, Point Hope just had great success with some spring whaling.
It's been a great year. It's been a great year, yeah.
You also said that as a writer, you want to make readers uncomfortable when they read this. Talk about why this is important.
Yes, yes. In regards to my upcoming book, which will be about residential schools and child sexual abuse, and It is a difficult subject to approach, to read about, to write about. But my intention is to make the reader uncomfortable because these are, this happened in our Indigenous history. Mm. And
these are facts.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that is my hope. I have been reading some horror because I do want some elements of horror in it. I read The Exorcist, and that is a really scary book. Scary, just like the movie.
Yeah, certainly is. I remember reading that when I was young, and it stayed with me for a very long time.
Yes, there are some elements of shock.
Yeah,
as I hope to have some of that. In my book, I have Indigenous children in the story, and I want them to retain some elements of their culture, their humanity. I want them to be a symbol of hope, and also they're telling these stories as a coping mechanism. And I'm hoping that readers will relate to the Indigenous culture. Also want some elements of horror in it.
Well, we'll look forward to that book, although I'm sure it'll be a difficult at times read, a very important topic and story to bring forward. So thank you for your bravery in writing about those things that can't be easy to research. Jamie, in our final moment here, your next book sounds like another intriguing novel, blending time travel, dementia, family, and inspired by the Winchester House. Wow. Tell us how this concept first developed for you.
Well, a funny story. I actually finished writing this book. I was very excited because I've always been intrigued by the Winchester House, and I thought a time travel element would be a lot of fun. However, I finished writing that book, and then shortly thereafter, Emma Straub's new book, whose title is escaping me at the moment, came out, I believe, last year, and it was almost about the exact same thing, except she had done it so much better. So I actually put that book aside and have been working on a totally different book. That is more of a horror novel about some high school cheerleaders who happen to be a coven of witches who are creating spells to enact acts of revenge on the men and boys in their small Midwestern town who have done them wrong. So got on a little different track there, but it's been a fun book to work on.
Oh, man, having grown up in a very small Midwestern town, I look forward to reading that book. That just sounds really fascinating. Menica, in about 30 seconds, are there programs going on that you want to recommend right now for families and kids?
There are so many. And so I don't think in 30 seconds I can list them all, but I highly recommend folks go to our website and check out the programs. We've got programs for adults and programs for kids and families, everything from magic to art to science. So I definitely recommend folks check out the calendar and see what all is going on.
Fantastic. That sounds great. Thank you so much to my guest, Lily Tuzroyluk, an Indigenous author of the historical fiction book Sivilik, and that means ancestor. Jamie Bradbury was on the line from France with us. He is the author of the novel The Wild Inside. And Menica Theroux is the Anchorage Community Engagement Librarian and was on. I mentioned other writers and would be remiss if I didn't mention Dana Stabenow, a great writer in Homer who also supports so many Alaska authors and does a lot for other emerging authors. And of course, a shout out to the late Lael Morgan, who wrote many books herself and also helped so many Alaska authors. Just a beautiful, wonderful woman, a hardworking champion of Alaska and Epicenter Press. She died last summer at 86. Thanks so much for listening to us today and for your calls and suggestions. We'll be back next week. I'm Lori Townsend. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.